Welcome into Baltimore Sports Today, the daily podcast from the Baltimore Sports Report Network. This is episode 311 for Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. I'm Zach Will from BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Joined as always by my good pal, Jabby Burns. How are you, Jab?
I'm good, Zach. I got to ask you a question, music question right off the bat here. Are you a 311 fan?
No.
All right. So I feel like there's this camp of people that either love 311 or hate them. Like there's nobody like in the middle. Like most people, I'll use Pearl Jam as an example. Everybody likes Pearl Jam. Nobody has to like love Pearl Jam. They're one of my favorite bands. But like usually you like Pearl Jam, right? 311's a polarizing band. What's it about 311 that you dislike?
I could not name one 311 okay. song to you.
All right.
I apologize.
I'm sure. No, it's good.
I'm sure if like anyone else my age were here, they'd be making fun of me for that. But I'm just not a fan.
Good. I don't know. Well, they're fine. I actually fall in the middle of the camp. I don't love them. I don't hate. I don't turn the song off. They're on my Pandora. But again, I have the 100 stations that Pandora will let you have if you're just a number and don't pay for the extra. So I just was wondering because 311. Every time you said a number, it kind of reminds me of that. I also like 311 because that's basically what. Tony Gwynn's average was for his whole career, basically. The guy just hit all the time.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one. Well, no Orioles baseball last night.
Kind of felt like we played a game, though, didn't it?
Well,
just
well,
with everything else.
They made up some ground. It was nice in the standings for them.
Yep.
Detroit
watching
lost.
Other teams fall over themselves.
And Toronto lost. So I'll take it. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, you got to take it. And not only that, but you had a little – I know this is going to come as a shock because everybody – 1-9. So I'm going to tell you something that's very shocking. The Blue Jays got in a fight with the team last night. I know. Very rare for them to kind of get out of their own way and look out at the mound. But, JD was involved. And one of their relievers, Benoit, got hurt in the whole situation. So get ready, Oriole fans. I'm going to ask Zach in over-under question, Zach. How many bench-clearing situations, because we definitely won't see a brawl, because last baseball brawl was, I don't know when, but when's the next situation?
We had one this year.
We did?
It was a punch thrown.
Oh, yeah. Well, Manny just crushed Ventura, which is well-deserved. Right, exactly. But, I mean, do you anticipate some type of skirmish coming up here in the next 3 days?
I really don't. This series is way too important for that. You might see the occasional jog down the first base, yell at a pitcher type scenario. Mm. Look over at a bench, yell some things. But at least I can say the Orioles are smart enough to not do something stupid that would cause somebody to get suspended one of these last few games. So
yeah. I'm with you.
I don't anticipate one, do you?
I do, but I just feel like it won't be on our side. I think it's that buffoon Gibbons, and he has no control of that clubhouse at all. And I feel like Batista with O'Day back a little bit, something could happen there. Adam always likes to chirp there. The fans are going to be unruling up there in Toronto. I could see them kind of getting under the skin. And if you think Manny could not handle a little brushback from Priscello, I can imagine what he would happen if he got hit right in the middle between the numbers somehow this three-game series, but hopefully it doesn't happen, and hopefully nobody gets hurt, and we just play the game on the field. But I tell you this, it has I have butterflies for a playoff-type week ahead of us, Zach. That's kind of the way I'm feeling. I'm looking at it as a playoff games each and every night.
Yeah, it's huge, and we mentioned playoff odds, and the Orioles' playoff odds climbed to 72.2% yesterday. Because, they didn't even play, and two of the teams that are chasing them, or one's ahead and the other's chasing them, ended up losing. So that's good. We were talking about magic numbers in the bullpen, and the Orioles' magic number with six games remaining is 5. Of course, they could cut that by 2 because the Blue Jays' magic number is 4. So they could cut that by 2 with one victory tonight in Toronto. So that's
right.
That's
absolutely. And you still got the other team is the Tigers. They're playing Cleveland for the next 3 nights. They lost again last night. Cleveland was able to clinch the division, so good for them. I actually think Detroit might be in the load of hurt, Zach, since that game on Saturday. I mean, that's just the biggest gut punch you can have. And then to come back the following day, and then the Royals just drop a 9 spot on you, in the first couple innings there. I think the Detroit Tigers could be limping their way to another postseason miss, but we'll see what happens. Also, you have the Astros and the Mariners basically knocking each other out. the next couple days here, as well as Seattle got a walk-off last night over Houston. Robinson Cano, two bombs there. So there's some teams still involved, but right now, if you looked at this situation a week ago to now, or even like last Thursday, Zach, everyone's doom and gloom here in the Charm City about your Orioles, because the Red Sox, who haven't lost, I think, since May, came in here and took care of business. But since then, with that three-game sweep and then not playing last night, Zach, it feels like the Orioles are back in, and I'm actually looking forward to the wildcard game here next Tuesday.
I am looking forward to a wildcard game.
No matter where it is.
Well, I hope it is in Baltimore. That'll be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, but let's talk about this series. We got a monster series, brother.
I know. Every time we do a series preview, I think we start it by saying, it's the biggest series of the year.
Well, it kind of has been since the end of August.
September, it's felt that way the entire month. I guess with the exception of the Diamondback series, which, you know, ended up being pretty good. Yeah, it ended up being one of their best series of the year. Yep. So, you know, it's hard to complain about that.
And by the way, not like the D-backs have died. They went down to D.C. last night and beat up on the Nationals 14-4, and in the process, Wilson Ramos might be out for the year with a really nasty knee injury. So
Nationals are priming themselves for another deep postseason run in DC. Get excited.
Very excited down there. All those fans are so excited.
Just in time. At least they've got the Washington football franchise to look forward to.
Oh yeah.
Game one, Jabby Burns, is Kevin Gausman, who, you know, was pushed back, had his start bumped from Sunday to Tuesday, whatever intercostal type scenario thing that they ended up scratching him. He's 8-11 with a 3.57 ERA. He's going to face Aaron Sanchez, who's 13-2 with a 3.12. And Gausman, you know, in general, for the way this series lines up, Jab, it is the Orioles' three best starters, with Gausman taking the ball in game one. And assuming that he is healthy and back from that intercostal scare, he's been awesome in his last 10 starts since July, 2.57 ERA. He did allow 5 runs in 6 1/3 innings his last outing, but still pretty solid numbers overall in the second half. So looking forward to Gausman, assuming he's feeling good, taking the ball in game one.
If you remember, this is where it all started for Kevin too. First major league start was in Toronto a couple years ago, and had, you know, got a nice little outing to start the game, and then just kind of fell off towards the end, and a couple home runs here and there. You look at the numbers, some of the guys that have some at-bats against him, Encarnacion is hitting a robust .077 against him with one home run and 2 RBIs. Josh
ABs.
Donaldson. Yeah, 13 ABs. That's what I was trying to think of, somebody that has actual some at-bats against him. Donaldson is .286, no home runs, 14 hits. 14 at bat. So they're not a lot of sample size against Kevin, which is kind of surprising, just because you expect these two teams kind of to get together more often. I'll tell you this, a guy who owns Sanchez on the Orioles side is one Chris Davis, who, if you look at what Chris Davis has done in Toronto, just go ahead and take a gander. I have a feeling this could be a Chris Davis type series, based on the fact that he really crushes the ball in Toronto. Whether they keep that roof open or whether they keep that thing closed, he's still hitting a robust .429 with 3 home runs and 4 RBIs against one Aaron Sanchez.
I know. Amazing. Opening up DraftKings right now, making a lineup with Chris Davis.
That's
my first base.
Oh, yeah. 3,800. I've already looked.
You think I'm kidding, by the way. No, I'm absolutely doing that as we speak. So.
Did you like what the Orioles did this time? I told you they were going to do a wacky bit. I thought they were going to do the Canadian tuxedo. They did not. They made the rookies dress up, and it looked like, to me, like Halloween costumes of some type. I don't know if you saw the picture that Michael Givens posted, Zach, with all the guys.
No,
it's really cool. If you go to a Givens thing, I'll send it over to you. It was just all the guys dressed up, and you're gonna love what your boy Kim was in. He was Pokemon, and his translator was, give me somebody else that's pretty big in the Pokemon world,
like a Pokemon.
Yeah, a Pokemon. What's the big one?
Pikachu.
There you go. Yellow. Oh, God, I got to get that picture over to you. It was fantastic. So they went out there, and then also saw a picture last night posted by one Donnie Hart on Twitter. It looks like Kim went out with all the young guys, and they took him to a Korean restaurant in Toronto. So the Orioles were having a little good time last night. Mancini was in the mix. You had all the young guys getting together. So it's cool to see you know, some camaraderie, something like that, going up into a huge series, not taking it serious. And I'm guessing the Orioles were in there watching the Blue Jays game in Toronto as well. So they kind of got a little bit, they kind of felt like the nice little win for them.
Yeah, seriously. It definitely did, I'm sure. So that's awesome to hear, man. I'm glad to hear that they're having fun there on the road. It's nice to get into town while the team that you're supposed to play has one more game to play. You know, that's
oh, yeah.
Good.
Hey, did you know did you mention that Sanchez has walked 10 Orioles in 24 innings?
I did not mention that.
That's kind of interesting because he usually is not that, you know, wild or anything. And he's had obviously a great year. And I think he's probably their most powerful pitcher. He might not be their best, might not be their number one starter. But, Zach, I mean, this guy has the stuff. He's really – he's kind of what we hope Kevin Gausman gets to, right? Isn't that kind of like the
– Sure.
You take that next step. We've seen Sanchez. He's just a hard-throwing guy, ball moves, kind of throws like Kevin the way he throws over the top and everything. So this should be a very interesting matchup, too. Two guys that like to strike a lot of guys out and two teams that like to strike out a lot as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's game one tonight. Game two on Wednesday is going to be Chris Tillman, at least according to Rockabaco.
Yep.
And where was
the
that
Blue
from?
Jays.
Blue Jays game notes?
Yeah, the Blue Jays game notes.
So Chris Tillman, who's 16-6 with a 3.84 ERA, and he's going to face Francisco Liriano, who is 8-13.
Frankie.
With a 4.88 ERA, and Liriano is back into the Blue Jays rotation, joined in on September 12th, and he's been pretty good ever since. He picked up three consecutive quality starts, 14 earned runs, 16 strikeouts over that span. So,
yep,
we shall see how he's a lefty, so we'll see how he matches up against the Orioles lineup.
I feel like you say he's a lefty, meaning that you know that your boy Kim's not going to be in the lineup that day.
Yeah, I do.
Is that what you're thinking? Do you know who will be in the lineup, though?
Who?
Trey Mantle. Trey Mancini will probably be in the lineup.
Yeah.
Well,
he should be.
I know, I'm with
stud.
You. It's just kind of nice to actually think about not seeing Nolan Reimhold. It's just one thing that I've kindly got
who?
Over with it. Yeah, exactly. I think Buck's finally kind of figured that out as well. Looks like Stubbs is getting more of the at-bats against lefties, at least playing in the field side type deal. So at least you got him out there. And I want to see a little bit more Bourne as well. I feel like Bourne's done a really, really good job, Zach. Another one of Dan's really nice pickups towards the end of the year here. I think Bourne really brings a little bit of something the Orioles haven't had, right? Like, so you got a guy who can get on base if need be, but also a guy who lays down a bunt, a guy who can play some really good defense, who really saved one of the games this year against Tampa with a great relay to end the game there against the Rays in a big game for the Orioles. So I'm actually kind of excited to see some of these guys come in here because sometimes it's these ancillary guys, these bench guys, these guys that towards in these big games where, as you always point out, you like the fact that the guy we have in our dugout as opposed to everybody else in the AL East dugout, making the right choices on bringing in guys in certain situations. So that's another reason why I really like the Orioles in this is because I just think John Gibbons is a buffoon. Just is.
I'm completely with you. I've been saying that one on this show for a while, and that's why I feel great about, you know, felt great about the Orioles' chances in September, and, you know, the same is true if this – whatever 72% October chance holds up. So
what's your vibe on Chris?
My vibe on Chris is always like, hit me up in the first inning of his start and I'll let you know what my vibe on Chris is. You know, is that fair? I mean, don't you always feel that way?
Absolutely.
I have confidence in Chris. I definitely do. But the last outing was, you know, obviously a gigantic mess. So, you know, it's to be determined for me. Let me, you know, text me in the first and we'll see. Cause that's the one that always seems to kind of make or break him, you know?
Yeah, it sucks because Chris had a fantastic year. Probably would have got 20 wins if it wasn't for some of the injuries here towards the end of the year. And first of all, let's just be happy that he's still able to pitch for the Orioles at this point because a lot of people thought that could be curtains when they, you know, that whole injury came down.
Yep.
He was able to get back and, you know, he had a good start. I feel like when he came back, his first start was good. It was the one in Detroit, if you remember, on that Sunday. He pitched really well for the Orioles and they ended up getting that winning that series, but his last start was not good. He couldn't get his curveball over. I kept telling you, it was almost like there was some type of moisture issue or something. I mean, he just couldn't get his handle. And when he doesn't have that thing tumbling over that 12-6 curveball, it kind of, it just everything kind of works its way back from there because he doesn't have an overpowering fastball. So hopefully Chris can keep it together here. 16-6, Zach. I mean, overall, really good year for Chris, and he has been a Orioles quote unquote stopper in the early parts. Whenever the Orioles were in a rut and needed a guy, I feel like right now that maybe is Kevin Gausman. Maybe we got into that role, but either way, like you said at the beginning, we have the three best pitchers that are pitching right now for the Orioles. I think that the bullpen's fresh. I think that extra off day kind of helps out a little bit, and it's just a full blown stretch run now, Zach, where all hands on deck. You're not going to see, you know, different. I mean, the Buck's going to play these games like playoff games. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, you got to. Absolutely. Yep. Got to make up that ground. Playing this game, like you mentioned, in Baltimore would be huge, and that's definitely on the line in this series. So, yeah, oh, yeah. It's a postseason atmosphere for sure for the next three games. You will see it tonight at 7 o'clock.
Does that mean people on Twitter are going to get more angry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even just more angry than they were, you know, last night about the same time. So,
all right.
And I'm mentioning the presidential debate that I didn't watch.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Game three, Jabby Burns.
Uh-huh.
Is the Orioles' best starting pitcher, Ubaldo Jimenez, on the bump.
He gets paid the most.
And he does get paid the most. And he's going to face Marcus Stroman, who's 9-9 with a 4.34 ERA, and Stroman's had a pretty solid month despite not picking up that W to show for it, lack of run support. But his last five starts, he's got a 3.00 ERA and 23 strikeouts. But that's all right because he's facing Ubaldo Jimenez, who in his last six starts over 41 innings has 33 strikeouts and a 2.85 ERA.
Yep, it's Ubaldo. I mean, we laugh about this back when this whole thing started, and everybody's like, Well, it's been over a month now, and the things haven't come off the wagon, as you pointed out. Last five starts, he's been really good, keeping the team in the ball game. And in Toronto, you don't know. It's funny that funny part about this whole deal is Ubaldo Jimenez could be a Blue Jay, could have been a Blue Jay in a potential trade with the Blue Jays back when Dan was flirting with them. So that's also kind of a little backdrop there. You have MGP, a big start for Ubaldo there. I'm not a big Stroman guy. I think he's a little overhyped, maybe, in my opinion at least. I think he's been kind of overhyped as their, quote unquote, the guy they want to be their ace. I think Sanchez has much better stuff than Stroman does. But still, the other thing is we're missing Happ in this series, who's been pretty good, and Estrada's been always been really tough on the Orioles as well. I will say this. I know the Blue Jays seem to have a really good bullpen on paper, Zach, but they're leaking some oil over there in that bully of late. Greeley hasn't been as good, giving up a bunch of runs to the Yankees on Monday night. I just feel right now the Orioles right now going into this series, at least, and it could all change tonight at 7:07 at that Rogers Center, but I just feel like the momentum might be on the Orioles' side, or is that just the homer in me?
I think that's just the homer in you personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a huge believer in momentum, but yep. They're coming off a good series in Arizona, and you're as the old cliche says, your momentum is only as good as your next day's starter. So,
well, I like Kevin Gausman.
Kevin Gossman's got.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just like where this team's at now. This has kind of been a house of horrors for the Orioles in the past. Toronto has balls flying. I always tell you to take overs in these games. I don't know if that's going to be the case as much this week, because I feel like both teams are throwing out some very strong pitching. And like I mentioned, both teams like to strike out a lot as well. This could come down to which team is able to convert two things, in my opinion. One, which bullpen will be better, because I feel like the Blue Jays have come back in a lot of games of late, beating up on other teams' bullpens. They do really a good job. As annoying as they are, they do a really good job with at-bats late in the game. So that's, for me, which bullpen's better. And then also, which team can get those runners in non-home run wise, right? So can the Orioles somehow, I know this is crazy, can the Orioles somehow get a guy on third with less than two outs and get him in? Because I feel like runs could be at a premium this week because of the pitching. But both teams are kind of built in the same way. Both teams like to hit home runs, of course. You got Donaldson, Batista, Edwin, they just up and down that lineup. I think Saunders is a good player as well. So for me, it's can the Orioles generate enough runs via the non-home run, which team gets more runs outside of the home run, and also the bullpens for me.
Yeah, no, that's big. Although you told me you like overs and that you're worried about the pitching.
I do. Well, I do like overs in this place usually, but I do feel like people are going to be a little bit tight. I mean, if we're thinking about how tight these games are going to be from a fan's perspective, what do you think some of these players are starting to squeeze the bat a little tighter now, too? I mean, Toronto knows the Orioles are right behind them. We're going to be in a full-blown sprint probably to play the Blue Jays based on projections at this point as well. So these two teams might not be done after these three games here.
Yeah, that's true. Orioles are 7-9 against the Blue Jays. They need a sweep to get a tiebreaker if a home wild card game is on the line. 2-5 at Rogers Center, which is as bad as they've been at Yankee Stadium, which is where they conclude the regular season after the series. Well, that's way too far in advance. We'll talk about that in a few days.
We're inning to inning.
Last three-game sweep in Toronto, April 2005.
Wow.
Yep.
Not even in 14, huh?
Nope.
Wow, 2005. Yep. Was that even the Rogers Center in 2005? It's got to be Skydome back then.
I think it was still the Rogers Center. I don't know, actually. I don't know.
The Molson Center.
All those tasty nuggets were from Rockabaco, by the way. MadisonSports.com.
Well, I mean, it's going to be it, Zach. It's a nice little run. I mean, we talk about it on this show all the time. If you're not excited for this week alone, I mean, we've already been excited since the beginning of September, but like if you're now just starting to get involved and you're like, wow, it's pretty cool. Well, this is what it's all about to be a baseball fan, and you want your baseball team to be in this position every year. And this team is there regardless of their warts, regardless of all the things that have happened. They are where you would want them to be. Much, much better off than what both FanGraphs and Pagoda and all these other preseason publications had them. This Oriole team is continuing to make it happen. And the one thing I will always remember is, again, Buck Showalter has never had a losing September.
Yep. Yeah, it's big. This year is big. So we'll see how it all goes. Three games coming up in Toronto. Biggest series of the year.
Woo!
It always is. Yep. We'll say that after these three games, too.
Absolutely. Biggest series coming up in Yankee Stadium.
All right, Jabby Burns.
Are they retiring anybody this weekend? The Yankees, is there anybody that's doing like some, you know what, Teixeira. All right, they're going to do some bad bits for Teixeira.
Hey, man, as much as I dislike the guy, at least we didn't have to go through this stupid retirement tour thing with him.
No, and he hit a big home run last night, too, so I'm all in. I was all in with the Yanks last night. It was weird.
I'm fine with it. All right, looking forward to it. At least I can say that right now. I don't know. Hit me up in like the fourth inning and make sure I'm still looking forward to this series.
Yep, I will be hitting you up. It might be before the fourth.
All right, Jabby Burns. Good talking to you, pal.
You too, pal.
For Jab, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Today. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.